In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And so this is the third week of the What's Love Got to Do With It series. And so we're going to continue with this topic today, and it's called The Struggle Is Real, But God. Everybody say the struggle,
the struggle is real, but God.
And so we know that What's Love Got to Do With It, this is Love Month. You guys have a good Valentine?
Amen.
Y'all quiet. Y'all have a good Valentine?
Amen.
Did y'all love on Jesus at least? All right. All right. And so we're going to definitely deal this week with the heart. Everybody say the heart. And so we're going to lift up the scripture, Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11. And it says, let's read it together. You're going to see heart written in red or highlighted in red, as I often do for you guys. Ready, set, go. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. And guys, I tried it this week to read Psalm 119. It took me almost 40 minutes to read the entire chapter. And if you look on YouTube or if you have the audio Bible, some of those audios, it takes you about an hour to read Psalm 119. And I was reading Psalm 119, and I got weary reading Psalm 119, but I forced myself to continue to read out loud. And time was just ticking. So to name a few, it is the longest chapter in verse and in words in the Bible, Psalm 119. That's where we find the scripture that I'm lifting this morning. Psalm 119 talks about the awesomeness of God's word. Everybody say God's word. It's awesome. So it is the longest in verse, longest chapter in verse and in words, and it is highlighting the importance and the awesomeness of God's word. Number three, you guys do have handouts, so you're welcome to just fill in there. Number three, it's like an honor. It's like a tribute to the word of God. It's like you're giving, not necessarily a trophy, but I know y'all can see that image. It's like this tribute to the word of God. Number four, it's this exaltation of God's word. It's this lifting of God's word. It's highlighting how important God's word is to us. It has 176 verses. Y'all should try it. When you get to verse number 30, you're going to be like, man, I got a lot more verses to go. But I did it this week, and it blessed my soul. And I said, there's going to be a blessing at the end of this reading. It has 22 sections. Everybody say 22 sections. But each section actually begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All right. And I took Hebrew in college, and I dropped out the third day. Because I have trouble writing from left to right, but in Hebrew, you write from right to left. So imagine trying to read this from the right to the left. But Psalm 119 is very interesting because each section begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Aramaic and Greek. Okay? And so, again, the only thing I remember from Hebrew from my class was the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's Aleph. I think it's called Aleph. And then the B is Bet, B-E-T. And so that's about it. I went to sleep and dropped out after that. I should have stuck with it, but maybe later on. But guys, there's this heavy emphasis on heart health in Psalm 119. Everybody say heart health. And Psalm 119 is long. It's the longest chapter. It's the longest in words. And there's this big emphasis, this pronounced heart health theme through the word of God. Everybody say heart health. Everybody say heart health. And so a healthy heart equals a healthy life. Healthy heart, healthy life. Amen. Healthy heart, healthy life. A holy heart equals a what kind of life? Holy life. Easy. A pure heart equals a pure life. A corrupt heart equals a corrupt life. A reckless heart equals a reckless life. And so I know in the state of South Carolina, there's this law that basically says if you're in the car with somebody that does wrong and they get in trouble, they did something bad, and they stop the car and you're in the car, guess what can happen to you? You are guilty by what?
Association.
But let's be blessed by association. Amen. Everybody say blessed by association. So the question I want to ask you guys, what is the proximity of the word of God to your heart? What's the proximity of the word of God to your heart? The proximity of the word of God to your heart. You said the word of God is in my head, but is it in your heart? It's nothing wrong with the word of God being in your head, because to me, in my opinion, it has to be in your head first before it's in your heart, because you got to know it, right? You got to know it. And then once you know it, then that's something that we can work with. And then eventually you meditate on God's word, and then eventually it's going to be in your heart. Amen. So there is a war for your heart. Everybody say it's a battle. Come on, y'all, shout it out. Everybody say it's a battle.
It's a battle
for your heart. It's a battle for your heart. It's actually a battle for, the enemy is trying to battle for your quality of life. He's trying to interrupt your quality of life in the natural and in the spiritual, in the spirit. He is trying to mess that thing up. And his tactic is to infiltrate your heart. He's trying to mess with you physically and internally. If the enemy can reach your heart, he can affect your quality of life, physically and spiritually. If he can reach your heart, everybody get your hands up like this. Thank you for doing this class. And just guard your heart and say, not today, Satan.
Not today.
Say, not today.
Not today.
He is trying to infiltrate. He is trying to get to your inner man, which is your levav. We talked about this last week a little bit. He's trying to mess with your will. He is trying to intercept. He is trying to influence your will. He is trying to influence your understanding. If he can keep us in the dark, he can keep us bound. He can keep us in bondage. He is trying to influence our memory. Amen. Because everything that you think on, there's some things you can think on in the past that can have you in a pretty bad place right now. Something in the past, it already happened, but you can think on that thing, and right now you're angry. Right now you're frustrated. Right now you're depressed. You're depressed because of the past. That's the work of the enemy. Amen. So again, just periodically, you want to do this with me. Let's guard our heart, even for us veteran Christians. He's really after us, because sometimes revelation will make it worse. Oh, he said, you got all that revelation? So the enemy is trying to test you on what you know. Amen. He is trying to interrupt. He is trying to intercept your conscience and your seat of appetites. Amen. I'm telling you what I know. Your seat of emotions and passions is where it's the levav, the heart, not the physical heart, but the immaterial heart. All of that was on the screen there. So you can write that down. There are so many issues we see in the world. Was in New York a couple of days ago, and you're looking. I love people watching like my mama. My mama is a people watcher, and I think I get it from her. Just look. You don't listen. We didn't need to pay for no excursion. You just go down the street and just look, and you got all the entertainment you need. Some good and some bad, but there seems like there's so many issues on the surface, but behind the struggle for many people are just simply trying to breathe. They're just trying to breathe spiritually in a dark and evil world. They're just trying to breathe. Everybody take a deep breath. Come on, take a deep breath. People are trying in any and everything to address their spiritual sinus problems. Probably can hear it. I have a little, just probably the change of climates, you know, hot and cold, it's warm and cold. And so you hear the sinus thing going on, but I'm all right. I'd rather have physical sinus problems than spiritual sinus problems. Amen. People trying to breathe, and they are trying any and everything to address issues and voids. Everybody say, but the word of God. I think, I don't know if I lifted up the title of the day, but it's basically the struggle is real, but God. Everybody say, the struggle is real. Everybody say, but God. All right, PSA. All right, PSA announcement. The word of God enhances your life. Number two, it is a lifesaver. That's the word of God. That's what the word of God would do for you, if you didn't know already. It reveals who you really are. On the count of three, shout your name. I'm going to say the word of God, and you shout your name. One, two, three, word of God. It reveals who Jer really is. It reveals who Alexis really is. It reveals who you really are. Everybody say, who am I? Who am I? What did I come from? I'm an Anderson. That's my stock. Are you proud of your last name? Shout out your last name.
Right.
Lawrence. Shout out your last name.
Right.
Meadows. Shout out your last name.
Brazil.
Are we proud of our last name?
Yes.
Wrights. Harrisons. Are you proud of your last name? Guys, this is where we come from. Because in Genesis 1, verse 31, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, our last name was good. Our last name was Alpheus Tov, which is a Hebrew word for good. In the Garden of Eden, we were good. We were benign. Excuse me. We were ethical. We were valuable. We were agreeable. We were pure. We're still beautiful. But we were definitely beautiful in the Garden of Eden. We were righteous in the Garden of Eden. We were Tov, Hebrew word for good. We were Tov. Tov. Everybody say Tov. God looked at us and said, you are Tov. You are good. Then something happened. We all know the story in the room. We know the Sunday school story. Adam and Eve messed it up. We went from Tov to what? Harmatano, which is another Hebrew word that means to miss. They missed it, and we're still missing it. So there's an issue that I see here. Harmatano, everybody say harmatano, means lack. It means that we have to repent now. We didn't have to repent when we were tov. We were led astray, harmatano, loss. We offended God because of harmatano. We are missing the mark. Trespass. We fall away. We slip away. We don't mean to. Does anybody in the room, you mean to offend God? Anybody like you want to hurt God? You want to disobey God deliberately? Raise your hand. Stand up proudly. I'll give you $1,000 to be convinced. Give you $1,000,000. Nobody wants to offend God deliberately. Why are we finding ourselves offending God? Sins of commission and sins of omission. Adam and Eve. y'all messed us up. Y'all hear me shout them out through the ear often because they got us here. If Adam and Eve would have hidden God's word. When God says do something and we don't do it, we disobeyed a direct order. There's going to be consequences. Amen? Amen? Adam and Eve, if they would have hidden God's word in their hearts, imagine the type of lifestyle we would have today. I see that look on you. You're like, woo. I feel the same way. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, The struggle is real, but God. Everybody say, but God. Luke 11, 28. I like that this scripture starts with but. Everybody say, thank you for your but. We're talking to God. Thank God for his but. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Amen. The struggle is real, but God. Y'all okay? Y'all take your notes? All right. Y'all take your notes. We're going to have some, whoever fills out your sheet this morning and you filled it out thoroughly, there will be some apple pies after service for you. Don't think you're going to do that in vain. Why y'all looking over to my right, your left? I'm the one that made that promise. But the pressure should be over here. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, because sin is lawlessness. If we do a good job of hiding, if we don't do a good job of hiding, then guys, we will become a professional transgressor. If we don't do a great job of hiding, we don't want to become a, that's one thing to be a sinner. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. All right, we get that. Amen. Amen. But we want to do a good job of hiding God's word so we don't become a professional sinner, a professional transgressor. Amen. We don't want to be a professional transgressor. Because aggressions and sin is a lifestyle sabotager to a believer. All right, it sabotages our lifestyle. Yes, I'm saved. Raise your hand if you're saved. Uncle Jerry was singing this morning like he just got saved yesterday. He was singing his heart out. So we're saved, but sin will sabotage our lifestyle. Amen. So you may be saying, sir, I thought since we know the word, we're not going to sin. I know the word of God. I know a few scriptures. We're not going to sin, right? Another PSA announcement. Y'all read it with me. Ready, set, go. Christians are not perfect. We sin every day, but God. This is to the to those that object to Christianity and those that says we don't have a right to assess and says we don't have a right to judge, we don't have a right to call out, because they're saying, well, you're sinful, you know, you've sinned, right? You've offended God. Amen. Everybody say, but God. It's good news. Romans 5:8 starts with but God. Look at that. Romans 5:8. We got to read this together because it starts with but God. Y'all say the first two words loud and proud. Ready, set, go. But God shows his love for us. Come on, y'all read out loud with me. Ready, set, go. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Y'all could be reading loud, but my ears are still stopped up. It's just been a rough day. My ears still stopped up. So, guys, I want to end today or the second half of this teaching with strategies for the struggle. Everybody say strategies for the struggle. There's nobody in this room that's struggleless. We all are struggling with something. Amen. That's not to say that for misery loves company, but we know that there are strategies for the struggle. Amen. That there's a solution. And I really could stop right here because Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us. Please let's not walk around feeling condemned and guilty and depressed because of three letters, S-I-N, sin. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. Is that not good news? Sin, Christ. Sin, but God. Harmatano, but God. I missed the mark, but God. I lied, but God. Thief, but God. Amen? Killed somebody, but God. Amen? Racism, but God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, but God. So these are some strategies for the struggle, because if we do a good job at hiding, now our lifestyle is affected in a positive way. Amen? We want a good lifestyle in the spirit. Amen. So hide comes from a Hebrew word called salfan. Salfan. All right? Salfan. It means to hide by covering. Your word I have hidden. To hoard. Everybody say hoard. To reserve. Your word I have hidden. I reserve. Your word I protect in my heart. Your word I respect. So if it's there, you want to respect it. Like Psalm 119, the entire book is lifting up and it's explaining, it's basically highlighting the importance of God's word. Exalting. You want to exalt God's word by reading it out loud, sharing it with others. Hide. Salfan means to lay up, keep. Treasure, secret place. Amen. What are we hiding? We are hiding God's word. We are not just hiding any old little old thing. All right. I said something sweet to Lex on the way here. And I'm sorry, baby. I know I didn't know it was going to make the tape. And she looked at me and said, why did you say that to me? Like, what do you want from me? I just said, no, it's just true. And asked me after service what I said. And I'm going to tell you to ask her because it's between me and her. But just know the response made her heart like it was. She was just like, She almost gave me a kiss driving, but that would have made me wreck. We're not just hiding any old little thing in our hearts. We are hiding the logos. The logos, divine utterances. There's a difference. There's a lot of things in our heart. But this right here, the word of God, is a huge difference. Amen. It's the truth. It's the preeminent used of Christ. Means high level. It means the ultimate, the penultimate, preeminently. It is like the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Name above, preeminently used of Christ. The word of God, this is the thoughts, the will of God. The thoughts of the Father through the Spirit of God. Hoarding. Salfan. Everybody say hoard. I almost want to do another object lesson, but I won't have you guys to do it. Maybe I'll do it. When you do a good job of hiding, you basically, everything that I pick up is the word of God. And basically, you know that when you drive around town and people just want to get everything, well, that's the money. I won't get that. But everything they see, they're just trying to get it. And it's like, you ain't got no more room. That's a hoarder. Have y'all ever seen a hoarder? Y'all looking at me crazy, but these hoarders, you look at them crazy. They are always just grabbing stuff and why are you collecting? And then once they get more of it, they start getting more of it. And then when it's not enough room on ground level, that's why you see a room looking like what's on the screen. Because it's just not enough to have it on the ground level. They are just, I don't know. I got a family member. I hope you're watching. Be healed, be delivered. Do y'all know the root of hoarding is selfishness? Hoard stuff for free. I get it because it was free. It was on the side of the road and it said free. Don't mean you got to get it. You selfish and you greedy. But I'm giving you guys permission to be greedy with God's word. I'm giving you guys permission to hoard and to stack as much as you can of God's word in your heart. Saul fan to hoard. This is sacred. Saul fan. That works. This is sacred because God's word is sacred. Amen. It's sacred. That's what we are hiding, not just any old thing. That's what we are hoarding. That's what we're hoarding. I think it's six things that I want you guys to write down and we're finished. So these are strategies. I wanted to end this way, and it's a little different ending. It's practical because we need to be practical. Amen. We need to practice. We need to be trained. Amen. At least I know I do. So number one, get nosy. With the text, God's word is so confusing sometimes. It is so difficult to understand. But number one, get nosy. It is so juicy. Try to find out the T when you're reading Psalm 119. Who wrote it? When I start digging in Psalm 119, I don't really know who wrote it. It's inconclusive. Some say it's David. It's likely David. But then now it's juicy to me because if it's not David, I'm wondering who it is. Who is it? What was he going through? Or was it a she? Not likely a she. Why did he write it? Where was he when he wrote it? When did he write it? So get nosy with the text. That's a part of Saul fan, hoarding, hiding God's word. Who, what, why, where, and when. Number two, get an understanding. Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, y'all, if it feels like I'm hollering at you, I'm sorry. My ears are still at 10,000 feet. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Everybody say, get an understanding. There's so much I don't understand in God's word, and I'm up here teaching you guys. And I'll be the first one to say, I don't understand a lot. You probably can ask me a question and I say, I don't know. I don't understand it yet. But the Bible says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, guess what happens? The wicked one is coming to try to snatch it away before you even get an understanding. So we got to hurry up. Everybody say, hurry up. Get an understanding. Everybody say, hurry up. Number three. Anchors and triggers to integrate the word of God in your everyday life. Anchors and triggers to integrate the word of God in your everyday life. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. You shall therefore lay up these words. I want you to look at this text, and I see an anchor and I see a trigger. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine, the word of God, in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. That's like, I'm seeing that as like putting the word of God somehow on this bracelet and somehow putting it on literally the word of God. And they shall be as frontlets or if I'm not mistaken, I haven't studied this, but frontless, gotta be glasses, frontless between your eyes, whatever. Imagine if I taped on my glasses here, scriptures right here. And in Israel, you'll see some locals, I'm calling them locals, I stand corrected, but you'll actually see them with something on their head. And you'll actually see like something really right here on their forehead. They're taking that literally, the word of God literally. And in this little box, it's almost like something strapped to their head. You know what's in that box? the Word of God, scriptures. That sounds pretty accurate, sweets. We saw that a couple of times. I'm like, what is going on? Proverbs 7 says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments with you, within you. Keep my commandments and live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Anybody love fruit? Speaking of apple, you see I have a refrigerator here. I'm telling you guys I'm being real practical here at the end. You see this refrigerator? You know we go to the refrigerator at least 72 times in a day. I made up that statistics. Maybe in my house. Speaking of apple of your eye, if you like fruit, that's a trigger. If you know you're going to get fruit out of your refrigerator, you should put that little white, that hotel Bible on top of that fruit. That's a trigger. That's an anchor. That's a trigger. I'm going to the fruit. Oh, the Word of God. That's a reminder to do what? Consume the Word of God. How many are you going to get in your car at least 3 times a week? Guess what should be on your steering wheel? Likely. You should take the Word of God right there. You say, this is extreme. This is really, like, you're really obsessed. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all see this behavior? Y'all see this? Let's start acting like this person in the kingdom. It's like, bro, you got a problem. We want people to look at us and say, you got a problem. Every time I talk to you, you saying, you just spitting out King James Version of the Word of God. But I bet you they're going to call you when they have an issue and when they need wisdom. Number 3, tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Y'all see the alarm clock? Set a reminder. Set 18 reminders in a day. You may only respond to 7 of them, but when you hear that particular ringtone, that is the ringtone that says, read a scripture. Try 18 reminders or 18, just, you know, every day. And you may ignore it, but if you respond to 7 of them, look what's happening to your, watch how you transform in the spirit. Love to sing? Put God's word to some music. Amen? God's word to some music. Number 4, let's keep moving forward. There was a song that we were singing on the way here, and it was all God's word. What was that song? I will lift up mine eyes to the hill, for which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's all the word of God. Ain't that awesome? Can you think of a song that is verbatim the word of God? Richard Smallwood, Fred Hammond. You saying, I am not a reader. And I get that. I am not a crack open the Bible, but you love music. Binge on gospel songs that is clearly the word of God put to melody. Is this too practical? Is this too basic for you guys? Is this helpful? Is this okay? This is good. Number 4, I'm almost finished. Schedule, y'all gonna like this, schedule Bible and brunch. Y'all like that? Schedule Bible and brunch. Let's read Acts 2 together. Ready, set, read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Y'all know what breaking of bread means, right? That means Outback, Chick-fil-A, Ruth Chris, Field Meal, Applebee's. Amen? There was another one I left out, but we'll come back. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They broke bread in their homes. Everybody say Uber Eats. And the word of God. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I think this is the secret. I know we're gathering like this, but that the small group thing that happens in churches a lot, the small group, the craze or the thing that has picked up a lot in churches, I really love it. We're eating, we're talking about God's word, we're getting an understanding. We need that in a day like today. I think there's a scripture that says, as we see the day approaching, we need to do more of breaking bread and reading God's word. We need to gather more as we see the day of our Lord approaching. Does that make sense? Because God is soon to come. Do y'all believe that? God is soon to come. All right? He's either coming to us soon, or guess what? We're going to him soon. He's soon to come, one way or the other. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Want to grow a church? Not in just numbers, but in salvation. Let's get some more food up in here. And in every to-go box, when they open it up, it's going to have a scripture in there. Amen. Amen. Y'all like this? Last one. Let's commit. Y'all stand up, guys. Stand up. I really enjoyed this today more than I really enjoyed. This is good to me. Because after this, maybe I'll call a few of my friends and we get some holy smoke. And I'm going to say, bring your Bibles and bring your brisket. Bring your Bibles and briskets. Y'all can take the House of Judah. Y'all take that. Bibles and briskets. College students, bread and Bible. Those of us leading the way in our schools, Bibles and briskets. Bread and Bible. I'm trying to find another acronym that food. Burgers and Bible. Wings and wisdom. I'm serious. I'm serious with what I'm saying. Let's commit to hearing it. Romans 10:17. Because you guys know that faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. Turn on the news and what's going to happen to your spirit? Turn on the news and what's going to happen? You're going to get depressed. Answer that phone call and what's going to happen? Some phone calls you don't even answer. Why? I ain't trying to hear it. Don't nobody bring me no bad news. You don't want to hear it. So faith ain't the only thing that comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you enjoyed this teaching today, clap your hands. Give God some praise. Hope you were encouraged. Amen. I was trying to find a song. I love the song piece, the word of God in music. So if you cannot find a song, y'all write a song. Sing a song to the Lord. Just look at God's word and start singing it. Amen. Just start singing it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. If I meditate long enough, I could literally lift up something, a melody from this. But this is not a studio session. This is not a writing session. This is a Sunday morning teaching. But just look at this. Look at this passage. And what melody comes in your heart? God rejoices over us with singing. Let's rejoice at what he has done for us with singing back to him what he has said. Amen. Amen. With your hands lifted, guys. Just meditate on something in God's word, in your heart. Meditate on it. Whatever it is, your favorite scripture, and lift it up. Lift that melody up in your heart. It doesn't have to be audible. If it's Philippians 4:13, if it's I can do all things through Christ, if it's I will bless the Lord, just lift that melody up. You can actually sing in your heart. You can sing a melody in your heart. You know this, guys. Just lift up God's word in your heart with a melody.